97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, welcome into the first show that we're having here for the month of September, because, of course, we had Labor Day off and enjoyed that immensely yesterday. The low humidity, the beautiful weather. Hopefully you were able to get outside, enjoy that a little bit. And I don't know, Kim, I'm sure you probably attended the Labor Day parade downtown. How was that?
Oh, my gosh, it was a blast. Moved my schedule around to make sure I could be there for it.
No, we did not attend that. But of course, according to Kamala Harris, we're anti-labor and we just hate workers.
Well, we do. Right?
Of course. Of course we do.
We're bigots. We're misogynists. We're everything that she calls us. We are those things.
I'm telling you, it must be the truth. We are 1 week out from the presidential debate that so much is hinging on here. What is going to happen? Of course, we're going to have analysis of that for you coming up. If you missed it over the weekend, because a lot of people kind of tuned out of the news cycle, there were mass protests in Israel yesterday. That's one of the big stories this morning. I want to cover for you here in just a minute, because thousands of people took to the streets. Some the hostages they discovered were dead. They had been murdered. And somehow they're trying to blame this on Benjamin Netanyahu, who's fighting back. And I don't blame him at all for doing that. Polls show he's got the support of the majority of Israelis in how he's fighting back against these terrorists who murdered at least six hostages, right? They were shot in the head. And somehow this is Benjamin Netanyahu's fault, which continues to amaze me when I see the mainstream news coverage of this story this morning. It's disturbing on a number of levels that Israel was the one who was attacked, and yet they're in trouble for fighting back and trying to eliminate the wasp's nest of terrorists that exists in the Gaza area there. I don't know how you could blame them for wanting to get rid of that. Imagine if it was America and that was going on. But you know there'd be people out there, probably Harris supporters among them, screaming for you to stop killing those nice terrorists. It's unbelievable, really. Coming up, we're going to get to Todd Pyro, host of Fox and Friends First. Before the bottom of the hour, we'll get to Representative Jared Taylor, former Missouri rep, to talk about the Second Amendment Preservation Act that a court has now suspended, thrown out. I don't know how that makes a comeback now. We'll get Jared's take on it about 7:35. First, though, Carl, let's get to our short list, please.
The Mark Cox Short List.
We are the greatest manufacturing city, county in the world, state in the world, in the world.
Yeah, whatever. Joe not on his game this weekend. 9 days of vacation between California and the beach in Rehoboth could not revive him, apparently.
ABC is probably the worst in terms of fairness. George Flapadopoulos, head of ABC, is her best friend and her husband's best friend, too.
George Flapadopoulos is not the head of ABC. He was making fun of George Stephanopoulos there, obviously. But he did point out that Kamala Harris's best friend is the head of ABC News.
You better thank a union member for sick leave. You better thank a union member for paid leave. You better thank a union member for vacation time.
Yeah, that was the deep southern Kamala Harris that we heard yesterday for the first time. Breaking out in some ethnic accent to try to pander to labor unions up in Detroit.
Hamas is continuing to steadfastly refuse all proposals. Even worse, at the exact same time, it murdered six of our hostages.
Yeah, that was a translator there, Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. The story continues to get uglier by the day. Particularly how the mainstream media is portraying Netanyahu. And Kamala Harris is not helping the situation. She says on one side that she's a big supporter of Israel. On the other side, they the Biden administration, are pressuring Benjamin Netanyahu to come to a deal. Well, guess what? Benjamin Netanyahu has agreed to a deal twice. It's Hamas that won't come to the table. So the terrorists get killed, or the hostages get killed by the terrorists. And somehow it's Benjamin Netanyahu's fault. I'm not following the logic here. Somebody help me. Listen.
Whoever murders hostages does not want a deal. For our part, we will not relent. The government of Israel is committed, and I am personally committed, to continue striving towards a deal that will return all of our hostages and ensure our security and our existence.
Yeah, thank you. I just watched at the top of the hour there, CBS News had an extensive piece on the not violent, the protests that were happening in Israel over the weekend, where people were obviously upset that these hostages had been discovered with a bullet to the head, and they believe they'd just been killed in recent days. And somehow they're equivocating that had Benjamin Netanyahu just done more to secure a peace deal with Hamas sooner, this wouldn't have happened. But it's Netanyahu who's come to the table and agreed to the terms of a ceasefire. It's Hamas who has refused to agree to those terms. So I don't follow the logic. They're claiming pressure is growing in Israel. They've never seen protests like this. But there was just a poll out that showed that 49% of the residents of Israel agree with Netanyahu's approach. 43% don't. So the loud minority in this case is going to the street protesting. The majority of Israelis who live under air raid sirens on a daily basis understand the real threat. The real threat is Hamas. And Israel will not have peace until Hamas is eliminated. Eliminated. That's what's going to have to happen there. And more of those hostages may die, because that's what terrorists do when they take hostages.
If they're not already dead.
Right.
And it's interesting to me, too, that not only does Hamas not want a two-state solution, but their idea of the ceasefire deal included, of course, a ceasefire and Israel completely moving out of their area. But then on top of that, they wanted how many prisoners released?
Right.
So to me, what seems fair after the horrific attack that happened on October 7th would be that you would agree to a ceasefire and then they have to release the hostages. Like, that should be it.
Period.
Period. Why is it, in addition to that, you have to release prisoners? Like, Israel's not at fault here. Israel is defending itself from the horrific attack where you baked babies alive, raped women, killed the parents right in front of their kids, then killed the kids, took people hostage, probably raped them again, and then ended up killing, I guess, a number of them. I mean, it's hard for me to even put into words how ridiculous this whole situation is.
It's the direct result of negotiating with terrorists.
Yeah.
You don't negotiate with terrorists, you kill them. And that's why they take hostages, because they want to give themselves a position of strength through which to negotiate.
Right. It's effective.
And the mistake that they made here over the years is negotiating with them too often. They know as long as they've got the hostages, Israel's willing to come to the table, but and they may agree to something crazy like that.
Our pro-Palestinian friends who were out there protesting on WashU's campus, you know, I haven't heard anything from them about this. What was it? Six people, the hostages who were killed. It's shocking.
Isn't that odd?
That is so odd.
Yeah.
We're all stunned by that.
Yeah. Well, that's what's going on this morning in the world, in case you're wondering. Now they're after the UN chief, who once again released a statement about the hostages, but failed to condemn Hamas in that same statement. Strange how that happens, isn't it? You can tell more about people what they don't say than what they do say sometimes. Oh, boy. Coming up, Todd Pyro is going to join us, Fox and Friends First host. We're going to get to former Missouri Representative Jared Taylor. He helped write the SAPA law, the Second Amendment Preservation Act. A court has now thrown it out. We'll talk more about it at 7:35.
And honored the sacrifice of those young men and women. But she hasn't. She never has spoken to them or taken a meeting with them.
Well, meet with them during the dignified transfer.
Because they were
with them at the dignified transfer.
Her and Joe Biden's incompetence, those 13 Americans were killed in Afghanistan.
You know who it is. It's Todd Pyro.
Yeah, there we go.
On the phone.
You've only done an introduction like that for now about 8 weeks with you doing it, Kim, and I finally figured out I got the pickup right, finally, as opposed to having that long, awkward pause that I had to explain away for weeks. I finally figured it out. It only took me 2 months, but I'm here.
See, we were gonna switch it up and see if you would say anything.
Yeah, well, I did this time. And good for me. Good for me. You know, I got my co-anchor back today, and, you know, everybody's like, you guys have such like a hand-in-glove rapport. Kind of felt like we were a little bit off today. We were a little stepping on each other because we haven't been with each other for like a week and a half. So it's been something. Hopefully we get back together, like get in sync, simpatico, tomorrow.
So is Carly off on some exotic vacation?
Yeah, she stayed in this wild place called New York City.
I see.
A good old staycation. Sometimes those are the most relaxing because when you go on a vacation, you really need a buffer time after the vacation to recover from the vacation.
And with kids, that is extrapolated and extrapolated. Is that the right word? Nah, I don't know. That's the right word. I'm done today. I'm cooked. You're not getting the best of me, St. Louis. The point being, like, I don't like going anywhere with kids. Like, we went to a Chinese restaurant. We were the only people there. I thought they were going to kick us out. And this was on Saturday. It was horrible. It was a disaster. They're animals. And, like, when the food came, yeah, they became up. But, like, they want, like, we have to play with knives. The moment they sit down, it's like, knives. Like, we don't have knives in our home. I'm like, and these were butter knives. These weren't going to do any damage. But why do they see it and, like, I must play with knives? Unbelievable. It's just they're out of their minds.
Well, they know that you're going to the restaurant for you and not them, so they're trying to take advantage of that situation, right?
Well played. I mean, that probably.
That's true.
And my youngest, sorry, Kim, you go.
No, I was going to say, I think your youngest, I think, is around the same age as my son, and I was just, you just chase him around nonstop, and you know, if he picks up a rock, you're like, no, don't put that in your mouth. Really, anything. I'm like, don't put that in your mouth.
Right. I said the phrase, don't put that in your mouth, multiple times over Labor Day weekend. But the funny time, my youngest, she goes over, we're on a beach. First of all, she took off her top because why not? You know, topless Labor Day. But she goes over to a group of, how can I put this delicately because I don't want to get fired, lovely young ladies from a sorority on a beach. There are about like 20 of them, all lined up, all... Mark, help me out here. And Lexi goes up like she was joining the sorority. Just talking to him. And it looked really creepy. It looked like I was using my child to hit on a bunch of girls. And so the next time that happened, I go, Amanda, my wife, you go. Because I don't want it to look creepy. Like, because I could be their dad.
Yeah,
you know, these girls are like 18 to 22. And here comes old man River with his, like, his crusty makeup on from work. Because I worked yesterday. I was impressed. Like, my little one's like talking to the girls, trying to join the sorority, and I'm so screwed in 16 to 20 years when she actually does join a sorority and I get the call from the school, come pick her up. She's been kicked out.
So I'm gonna ask a geography question here.
Yeah.
Is there a beach close to your residence there in Connecticut, or do you have to drive some distance?
Yeah, we drove about 25 minutes.
No, it's not bad.
Where we go, I mean, it's great. I mean, beautiful. So much more peaceful than the Jersey Shore.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it could be my family. They're not listening, so I can say that my wife's family is a little bit more, you know, calm, relaxed. My family, it's like you get there and they literally put on the Benny Hill theme song, and it doesn't stop until we get in the car to leave.
Kim's like, who's Benny Hill?
Like, who is that?
Yeah.
Come on, play that. You guys have to have that up there. There we go.
Oh my.
That's how it starts. British comedian, you used to have a show on, Kim, many years ago. Funny guy.
From the moment we pull in.
Yeah.
From the moment we pull in, this song plays, and then we pull up in Connecticut. It's very peaceful. Very peaceful. So we had a good time, and sorry we didn't get to any politics today, but we're here to entertain, Mark.
Well, that's okay. At least we got the open worked out, and we've talked about your great weekend with the kids. So
I could have done all this in an accent, you know, a Connecticut accent, much like Kamala, or the St. Louis accent to appeal to the people of St. Louis.
I feel like I heard you not really saying your R's. My parents are from New England, and my dad says, like, well, my mom and my dad, like, water.
Wada.
Doctor.
Are you saying I went full New England?
I feel like I heard, but I feel like I heard you not saying your R's. Like,
pandering.
Two different times I heard that.
I am pandering.
I don't know. Don't be like Kamala Harris changing up your accent, Todd.
Well, next week I'm going to change all my policy positions.
No, you've never changed them.
Anything to get ratings. Yeah, that's good.
Anything.
All right, Todd. Thanks, brother. Hang in there.
Have a great week.
All right, see you. Todd Pyro there. Fox and Friends First. Coming up 2A Tuesday, we'll talk more about the Second Amendment Preservation Act being thrown out by a court. We'll be back.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double-barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're after it. I just heard the bite from Kamala again from 2019, talking to some gun-grabbing group that she and a reporter who asked her about it. And she's like, yeah, there's millions of AR-15s in the country. And the only answer is a buyback. We have to have a, but we have to buy them back. Well, guess what, Cammie? You didn't sell it to me in the first place. And the Second Amendment says I have a right to own it. So good luck with that. This is what you're facing in America right now. You're also facing a court system with judges who don't like the Second Amendment. They don't like it at all. And other than the Supreme Court, many of them fight against it all the time. In other words, a local court, I shouldn't say local, an appeals court, recently struck down the Second Amendment Preservation Act, ruled that it's unconstitutional, claiming that it nullified federal gun law. I don't agree with that at all. And we've got former Missouri Representative Jared Taylor on the phone this morning, who used to serve in Missouri's 139th district. And we reached out to him because he's one of the ones that helped craft this to begin with. Jared, welcome back. How are you?
Good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. So,
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. The federal judge struck down what I believe it's the Missouri Independent quoted as a controversial Missouri law that penalizes police for enforcing federal gun laws. Well, that's what SAPA was designed to do, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And that's why the Biden DOJ sued us, because even they claim in their court filings that it prohibited them from working with Missouri law enforcement. That's exactly what we designed it to do. It was doing exactly what we wanted.
Well, that's the whole thing. I'd love to maybe get you to comment on that a little bit. As I understood SAPA, the point was, if under Joe Biden administration, or heaven forbid, a Kamala Harris administration, she decides to come into the state of Missouri and force some sort of a gun buyback program, the point is local law enforcement in Missouri is not going to be able to participate in that. They're not federal law enforcement officers. How can the federal government force them to take part in that?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we have a longstanding decision by the court, this principle known as anti-commandeering, and the courts have upheld that numerous times, saying that states cannot be commandeered or forced to enforce federal law. And Missourians rightfully so believe in our Second Amendment. And so this ruling by this appeals court, this three panel judge, it wasn't surprising. We were prepared for you know, that decision. And so we have a couple options now. We could either go before the full 10th, which would be a 10-panel judge, I'm sorry, 8th, or we could go straight to the Supreme Court. And so that's kind of what we're weighing our options right now. I think in the next couple weeks you'll see a decision come out of the Attorney General's office, who Missouri Firearms Coalition has been working one-on-one with and crafting, like, how we're going to move forward. And so, you know, I'd say definitely be looking forward to that. But we're... This isn't the end of the battle for the Second Amendment Preservation Act.
Good, because we had the Attorney General on last week here, and he was talking about the fact that this is not a Second Amendment issue. It's a Tenth Amendment issue, right?
Right. That's right. Yeah, because, again, anti-commandeering, we don't want the feds coming in telling Missouri law enforcement to, hey, you know what? I mean, we've got a presidential candidate in Kamala, who's telling us that if the Congress doesn't act within the first, I think, 90 days is what she gave him or something like that, that she's going to come in with an executive order banning AR-15s, not just like we're going to stop selling them, or, you know, which would be atrocious as it is. But she wants to completely ban them and have them removed from the country. I don't know about you, but I don't want Missouri law enforcement participating in something like that. One, for their safety, but two, just because that's a bad idea. You know, it's the most popular weapon in the United States, and she's wanting to get rid of it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I've got a number of friends who are police chiefs. What is that, Carl? Sorry, you scared me. A number of friends who are police chiefs. And I've talked to them about this, and a lot of them were upset over SAPA when it first passed, because they were concerned that, you know, if they had officers who were on loan to some federal department, they were going to have to stop doing that, and they were all worried about being fined $50,000 per incident or whatever the fine was that was thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said at the time, that's not what the law is about. It's not about coming after your department because one of your officers happens to be on loan to you name the DEA or whatever the federal agency happens to be. This is about making sure that your department is not encroaching on the Second Amendment rights of Missouri citizens. Can you think of a single incident, Jared, where a department was fined or this law was used like that since it's been in effect?
No. So, in fact, I think that I know of at least one lawsuit that was brought against a department, and the judge threw it out because it didn't apply. The guy was a previous convicted felon, and there are exemptions in the law that allow law enforcement to still work with their federal partners on drug cases, on human trafficking, on bank robberies, like all murder cases. So all of these exemptions exist in the law to allow them to continue to work with them. And you're right, there was a knee-jerk reaction from law enforcement at the beginning when SAPA first passed because they didn't understand it. They didn't know what it did. We heard from a ton of law enforcement, men and women on the street who are like, oh, we love this. This is exactly what we want. I mean, those guys are Second Amendment, you know, those men and women are Second Amendment advocates. They've got exact same things that we have at home for their personal defense as well. And so, you know, they pulled out of those task forces. And then once they started realizing, oh, this isn't doing what we thought it was going to do, or the, you know, the hype about what it was going to do, the left was claiming that it was going to do, and they started working with their federal partners again, and it really wasn't that big of a deal, and it wasn't that big of a change until we have a president who's going to go after an AR-15 or a bump stock ban or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, it's true, and we're waiting for it because Kamala Harris has not changed her stripes, despite what she's leading us to believe right now.
No, she can avoid the media all she wants, but we've got enough, you know, for sound clips from the last couple years to use against her, especially on the Second Amendment.
Yeah, very true. Well, I tell you what, Jared Taylor, we appreciate your time, and please keep us updated for the Missouri Firearms Coalition and what they're doing about this. We appreciate it.
Will do. Thank you.
Yep. Take care of yourself. Thank you for giving us some time today. All right. We'll get to all that for you. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to get to Jared Halperin because it's just 1 week until that debate. What are they saying about the preparations this time around? Boy, this is going to be a must see, isn't it? Also coming up, Kim, what are we talking about today in Kim on a Whim?
Well, if you have any plans to stay at a hotel in the near future, at many states across the country, you might see some changes. You might not have your room cleaned as often as you'd like, or maybe that continental breakfast you're looking forward to might not be like you're used to either.
Don't mess with my waffles.
I know. We love our waffles.
All right.
I'll explain.
We're back in a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Well, the hotel workers are officially on strike. 25 different cities across the country. Hilton, Hyatt, and Marriott hotels are all affected. That is supposed to grow later on this week. More strikes coming.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size? If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double-barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're after it. I just heard the bite from Kamala again from 2019, talking to some gun-grabbing group that she and a reporter who asked her about it, and she's like, yeah, there's millions of AR-15s in the country, and the only answer is a buyback. We have to have buy them back. Well, guess what, Cammie? You didn't sell it to me in the first place. And the Second Amendment says I have a right to own it. So good luck with that. This is what you're facing in America right now. You're also facing a court system with judges who don't like the Second Amendment. They don't like it at all. And other than the Supreme Court, many of them fight against it all the time. In other words, a local court, I shouldn't say local, an appeals court, recently struck down the Second Amendment Preservation Act, ruled that it's unconstitutional, claiming that it nullified federal gun law. I don't agree with that at all. And we've got former Missouri Representative Jared Taylor on the phone this morning, who used to serve in Missouri's 139th district. And we reached out to him because he's one of the ones that helped craft this to begin with. Jared, welcome back. How are you?
Good, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. So,
Thanks for having me on.
Oh, absolutely. The federal judge struck down what I believe it's the Missouri Independent quoted as a controversial Missouri law that penalizes police for enforcing federal gun laws. Well, that's what SAPA was designed to do, correct?
Yeah, that's right. And that's why the Biden DOJ sued us, because even they claim in their court filings that it prohibited them from working with Missouri law enforcement. That's exactly what we designed it to do. It was doing exactly what we wanted.
Well, that's the whole thing. I'd love to maybe get you to comment on that a little bit. As I understood SAPA, the point was, if under Joe Biden administration, or heaven forbid, a Kamala Harris administration, she decides to come into the state of Missouri and force some sort of a gun buyback program, the point is local law enforcement in Missouri is not going to be able to participate in that. They're not federal law enforcement officers. How can the federal government force them to take part in that?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we have a longstanding decision by the court, this principle known as anti-commandeering, and the courts have upheld that numerous times, saying that states cannot be commandeered or forced to enforce federal law. And Missourians rightfully so believe in our Second Amendment. And so this ruling by this appeals court, this three-panel judge, it wasn't surprising. We were prepared for you know, that decision, and so we have a couple options now. We could either go before the full 10th, which would be a 10-panel judge, eight, or we could go straight to the Supreme Court. And so that's kind of what we're weighing our options right now. I think in the next couple weeks you'll see a decision come out of the Attorney General's office, who Missouri Firearms Coalition has been working one-on-one with and crafting, like, how we're going to move forward. And so, you know, I'd say definitely be looking forward to that. But this isn't the end of the battle for the Second Amendment Preservation Act.
Good, because we had the Attorney General on last week here, and he was talking about the fact that this is not a Second Amendment issue. It's a Tenth Amendment issue, right?
Right. That's right. Yeah, because, again, anti-commandeering, we don't want the feds coming in telling Missouri law enforcement to, hey, you know what? I mean, we've got a presidential candidate in Kamala, who's telling us that if the Congress doesn't act within the first, I think, 90 days is what she gave him, or something like that, that she's going to come in with an executive order banning AR-15s, not just like we're going to stop selling them, or, you know, which would be atrocious as it is. But she wants to completely ban them and have them removed from the country. I don't know about you, but I don't want Missouri law enforcement participating in something like that. One, for their safety, but two, just because that's a bad idea. You know, it's the most popular weapon in the United States, and she's wanting to get rid of it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, I've got a number of friends who are police chiefs. What is that, Carl? Sorry, you scared me. A number of friends who are police chiefs, and I've talked to them about this, and a lot of them were upset over SAPA when it first passed, because they were concerned that, you know, if they had officers who were on loan to some federal department, they were going to have to stop doing that, and they were all worried about being fined $50,000 per incident or whatever the fine was that was thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said at the time, that's not what the law is about. It's not about coming after your department because one of your officers happens to be on loan to, you name the DEA or whatever the federal agency happens to be. This is about making sure that your department is not encroaching on the Second Amendment rights of Missouri citizens. Can you think of a single incident, Jared, where a department was fined or this law was used like that since it's been in effect?
No. So, in fact, I think that I know of at least one lawsuit that was brought against a department, and the judge threw it out because it didn't apply. The guy was a previous convicted felon, and there are exemptions in the law that allow law enforcement to still work with their federal partners on drug cases, on human trafficking, on bank robberies, like all murder cases. So all of these exemptions exist in the law to allow them to continue to work with them. And you're right, there was a knee-jerk reaction from law enforcement at the beginning when SAPA first passed because they didn't understand it. They didn't know what it did. We heard from a ton of law enforcement, men and women on the street who are like, oh, we love this. This is exactly what we want. I mean, those guys are Second Amendment, you know, those men and women are Second Amendment advocates. They've got exact same things that we have at home for their personal defense as well. And so, you know, they pulled out of those task forces. And then once they started realizing, oh, this isn't doing what we thought it was going to do, or the hype about what it was going to do, the left was claiming that it was going to do, and they started working with their federal partners again, and it really wasn't that big of a deal, and it wasn't that big of a change until we have a president who's going to go after an AR-15 or a bump stock ban or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, well, it's true, and we're waiting for it because Kamala Harris has not changed her stripes, despite what she's leading us to believe right now.
No, she can avoid the media all she wants, but we've got enough, for sound clips from the last couple years to use against her, especially on the Second Amendment.
Yeah, very true. Well, I'll tell you what, Jared Taylor, we appreciate your time, and please keep us updated for the Missouri Firearms Coalition and what they're doing about this. We appreciate it.
Will do. Thank you.
Yep. Take care of yourself. Thank you for giving us some time today. All right. We'll get to all that for you. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to get to Jared Halperin because it's just 1 week until that debate. What are they saying about the preparations this time around? Boy, this is going to be a must-see, isn't it? Also, coming up, Kim, what are we talking about today in Kim on a Whim?
Well, if you have any plans to stay at a hotel in the near future at many states across the country, you might see some changes. You might not have your room cleaned as often as you'd like, or maybe that continental breakfast you're looking forward to might not be like you're used to either.
Don't mess with my waffles.
I know. We love our waffles.
All right.
I'll explain.
We're back in a minute.
Kim on a Whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Well, the hotel workers are officially on strike. 25 different cities across the country. Hilton, Hyatt, and Marriott hotels are all affected. That is supposed to grow later on this week. More strikes coming.
Oh, great.
The workers want higher pay, better conditions, more staff, all the things you typically hear. What they're upset about specifically is they say that the protocols were changed, the cleaning protocols specifically, when COVID hit. They were requesting the hotels were, hey, if you don't need to have daily cleaning, just maybe don't, so that we're lessening the chance of, I guess, COVID spreading. Well, I guess these workers are saying that, you know, 4 years after that pandemic, that a lot of these hotels haven't gone back to what they used to do. So for that reason, they say that the workload has become at times unmanageable. They're getting fewer hours. They've had a decline in income. So it is interesting because these hotels are still all functioning. They're still opening, staying open, I should say, but they're working with basically a skeleton crew. So you're not going to have the full services that you would typically have. So I don't know if that means your continental breakfast isn't you know, you don't get the waffles that you and I so dearly love. I guess, Mark, we've learned.
Yes.
Both big fans of those.
I do love that. I always, if you do get this strike settled, maybe one of the issues you can throw in there for me is each hotel needs to have at least two waffle-making machines. Because if there's just one, it clogs up the system.
100%. And why do I always get in line behind the person who's making three waffles?
Yes.
Like, no, you get one waffle and then you need to move on. Maybe two maximum.
And you need to make sure that when you put the toilet paper on the roll, it's coming down from the top and not up from the bottom. And I want that little fold that you put on the toilet paper, that last little piece of the toilet paper with a little V in it to prove mm-hmm. that nobody else has used that roll yet.
Do you also want a mint on your pillow?
I would like that.
Now, are you one of the people who tips the cleaners? Because I wonder how many people
sometimes
leave them tips. And maybe that's part of the income that they're losing out on. Because if you're not cleaning the room every day, I don't feel the need to leave you much of a tip. A little bit maybe, but not like I typically would if you were cleaning every day, replacing the towels every single day, making the bed.
If I'm staying for 3 or 4 days, like if I'm going to a hotel in Florida for 4 or 5 days, yeah, I'm going to leave a tip at the end. If I'm stopping somewhere overnight on the interstate on a trip, probably not.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I get the frustration that some of these companies did make some changes during COVID and they realized they could still function with less and they're not going back. That is, I would be frustrated, but I mean, not to go against these union workers, but I do feel like ultimately, you know, there are other jobs where they could make more.
Somebody's got to say it, Kim. It's the truth. I'm sorry for the situation you find yourself in, right? But just because you don't like your job flipping burgers at McDonald's for $8 an hour or $13 an hour, whatever we've falsely inflated that wage to, I also don't like paying $9 for a Big Mac. There's a give and take here, right? These fast food companies are going to go out of business or they're all going to go to machines if you keep doing this. And I those were always designed to be starter jobs, not long-term careers. Mm-hmm. That's in most cases that's what it's designed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've chosen to make that your career, just understand it comes with certain income limitations.
Right.
You're never going to make much money doing one of those jobs.
I've seen at some hotels they've resorted to robots delivering food. So if you get room service, a robot will roll on up to your door and deliver your steak.
On the bright side, you don't have to tip the robot.
Well, they probably would still expect at least a 25% tip. There's 25%. Do you want to tip 50% or would you like to tip 100%? Right?
Yeah.
Because that's the expectation now. I don't know. I was listening on our way into work, Mark. I was listening to the Gordon Deal show, and they were talking about this no tax on tips.
Wages.
That Trump and Kamala Harris have both said that they support it. And then this gentleman who was talking about the story said, well, you know, why don't they just increase the hourly wage? Because I think he was saying it was like two something an hour for a lot of these people, the average. Okay, I understand that. But again, if you do that, then they're going to have to increase the price you pay for said items on the menu. And then people might feel like they have less money to tip because they've spent more on the meal itself. So in theory, that sounds like a good idea, but I don't think it's solving the problem because it's just not the solution. We've seen what has happened in California where a number of restaurant chains, including Shake Shack, have had to shut down because they can't afford $20 an hour for each person.
I don't have many bad things to say about Italy, but one thing I did notice on my trip over there is that they do that in Italy. Like the if somebody's a waiter or waitress, I mean, that's their job. That's what they do 5 or 7 days a week, and most of them are pretty good at it, but they don't pay a lot of attention to detail because they don't expect a tip. And oftentimes we would wait a long time till a waiter came back by our table to see if everything was okay because they're not expecting something at the end of it. So there's something good about that and there's something bad about it. If their hustle depends on them getting a good tip at the end of it, you tend to get better service for sure.
Well, a lot of places though want you to tip right off the bat, and then I feel like, well, maybe that would motivate some people to want to work because it's like, wow, this person was so generous and gave me this tip. But let's be real. A lot of people would look at that and be like, well, I already got the tip. Who cares? Right? I mean, how many people these days truly would sit there and say, I'm going to hustle and work my butt off for this person because they just tipped me well. Yeah. I think it's kind of like, well, I expect it. Of course I should be tipped 45%. I mean, seriously, you go to a serve yourself place and they still ask if you want a tip.
And I got called cheap on this show one time because I've said that generally a 20% tip is, I consider that generous.
I think I wouldn't call it generous. I think that's like the standard now. I think 25% and beyond would be considered very generous.
If you're slacking, you're getting 5 to 10. If you've given me good service, I'll give you the 20.
If you're slacking, you're going to get maybe like 15%.
If I'm standing on my 2 feet when I order the food.
Yeah, you're not getting
20%. And you flip the iPad around and ask me to tip you, the answer is zero.
Because
you've done nothing but take my order.
Shame eyes of like, I know you hit no tip. I saw that.
Coming up, we'll talk more about the debate. It is 1 week from today. I got Jared Halpern lined up for you at 8:20.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
Well, the hotel workers are officially on strike. 25 different cities across the country. Hilton, Hyatt, and Marriott hotels are all affected. That is supposed to grow later on this week. More strikes coming.
Oh, great.
The workers want higher pay, better conditions, more staff, all the things you typically hear. What they're upset about specifically is they say that the protocols were changed, the cleaning protocols specifically, when COVID hit. They were requesting the hotels were, hey, if you don't need to have daily cleaning, just maybe don't, so that we're lessening the chance of, I guess, COVID spreading. Well, I guess these workers are saying that, you know, 4 years after that pandemic, a lot of these hotels haven't gone back to what they used to do. So for that reason, they say that the workload has become at times unmanageable. They're getting fewer hours. They've had a decline in income. So it is interesting because these hotels are still all functioning. They're still opening, staying open, I should say, but they're working with basically a skeleton crew. So you're not going to have the full services that you would typically have. So I don't know if that means your continental breakfast isn't, you know, you don't get the waffles that you and I so dearly love. I guess, Mark, we've learned.
Yes.
Both big fans of those.
I do love that. I always, if you do get this strike settled, maybe one of the issues you can throw in there for me is each hotel needs to have at least 2 waffle making machines, because if there's just one, it clogs up the system.
100%. And why do I always get in line behind the person who's making 3 waffles?
Yes.
Like, no, you get 1 waffle and then you need to move on. Maybe 2 maximum.
And you need to make sure that when you put the toilet paper on the roll, it's coming down from the top and not up from the bottom. And I want that little fold that you put on the toilet paper, that last little piece of the toilet paper with a little V in it to prove that nobody else has used that roll yet.
Do you also want a mint on your pillow?
I would like that.
Now, are you one of the people who tips the cleaners? Because I wonder how many people leave them tips. And maybe that's part of the income that they're losing out on. Because if you're not cleaning the room every day, I don't feel the need to leave you much of a tip. I mean, a little bit maybe, but not like I typically would if you were cleaning every day, replacing the towels every single day, making the bed.
If I'm staying for 3 or 4 days, like if I'm going to a hotel in Florida for 4 or 5 days, yeah, I'm going to leave a tip at the end. If I'm stopping somewhere overnight on the interstate on a trip, probably not.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I get the frustration that some of these companies did make some changes during COVID and they realized they could still function with less and they're not going back. That is, I would be frustrated, but I mean, not to go against these union workers, but I do feel like ultimately, you know, there are other jobs where they could make more.
Somebody's got to say it, Kim. It's the truth. I'm sorry for the situation you find yourself in, right? But just because you don't like your job flipping burgers at McDonald's for $8 an hour or $13 an hour, whatever we've falsely inflated that wage to, I also don't like paying $9 for a Big Mac. There's a give and take here, right? These fast food companies are going to go out of business, or they're all going to go to machines if you keep doing this. And I just those were always designed to be starter jobs, not long-term careers. Mm-hmm. That's in most cases that's what it's designed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've chosen to make that your career, just understand it comes with certain income limitations. You're
right.
Never going to make much money
right.
doing one of those jobs.
I've seen at some hotels they've resorted to robots delivering food. So if you get
really?
Room service, a robot will
okay.
roll on up to your door and deliver
well,
your
on the
steak.
Bright side, you don't have to tip the robot.
Well, they so probably would still expect at least a 25% tip. There's 25%. Do you want to tip 50% or would you like to tip 100%? Right?
Yeah.
Because that's the expectation now. I don't know. I was listening on our way into work, Mark. I was listening to the Gordon Deal show, and they were talking about this no tax on tips.
Wages.
That
yeah.
Right. That
tips.
Trump and Kamala Harris have both said that they support it. And then this gentleman who was talking about the story said, well, you know, why don't they just increase the hourly wage? Because I think he was saying it was like two something an hour for a lot of these people, the average. Okay, I understand that. But again, if you do that, then they're going to have to increase the price you pay for said items on the menu. And then then people might feel like they have less money to tip because they've spent more on the meal itself. So in theory, that sounds like a good idea, but I don't think it's solving the problem because it's just not the solution. We've seen what has happened in California where a number of restaurant chains, including Shake Shack, have had to shut down because they can't afford $20 an hour for each person.
I don't have many bad things to say about Italy, but one thing I did notice on my trip over there is that they do that in Italy. Like the if somebody's a waiter or waitress, I mean, that's their job. That's what they do 5 or 7 days a week, and most of them are pretty good at it, but they don't pay a lot of attention to detail because they don't expect a tip. And oftentimes we would wait a long time till a waiter came back by our table to see if everything was okay because they're not expecting something at the end of it. So there's something good about that and there's something bad about it. If their hustle depends on them getting a good tip at the end of it, you tend to get better service for sure.
Well, a lot of places though want you to tip right off the bat, and then I feel like, well, maybe that would motivate some people to want to work because it's like, wow, this person was so generous and gave me this tip. But let's be real. A lot of people would look at that and be like, oh, I already got the tip. Who cares? Right? I mean, how many people these days truly would sit there and say, I'm going to hustle and work my butt off for this person because they just tipped me well?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of like, well, I expect it. Of course I should be tipped 45%. I mean, seriously, you go to a serve-yourself place and they still ask if you want a tip.
And I got called cheap on this show one time because I've said that generally a 20% tip is, I consider that generous.
I think it's, I wouldn't call it generous. I think that's like the standard now. I think 25% and beyond would be considered very generous.
If you're slacking, you're getting 5 to 10. If you've given me good service, I'll give you the 20.
If you're slacking, you're going to get maybe like 15%.
If I'm standing on my 2 feet when I order the food.
Yeah, you're not getting 20%.
And you flip the iPad around and ask me to tip you, the answer is zero.
Because
you've done nothing but take
shame,
my order.
Shame, shame, eyes of like, I know you hit no tip. I saw that.
Coming up, we'll talk more about the debate. It is 1 week from today. I got Jared Halpern lined up for you at 8:20.
Get more at 971talk.com.